Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, One Man's Faith, was written by Theodore and Matilda Farrell and based on an incident described in the book Jewish Experiences in Early Manitoba by Rabbi Arthur A. Scheel. In the 11th century BCE, the Egyptians said to the Jews, You are different. You are not like us. And the Jews were forced to flee to Canaan. In the 2nd century AD, the Romans said to the Christians, You are different. You are strange to us. And the Christians were persecuted. And throughout the following centuries, Jews, Protestants, and Catholics, those who clung to a belief which was not the accepted one, gathered their families and small possessions and set out in search of a land where they could live in peace. Such a land was Canada, a land of timber and open plains and navigable rivers. And the people came and settled in it and called themselves Canadians. But Canada was a large land. The early settlers did not fill it. So later, others came. Those who still fled from prejudice. And now also those who fled from hunger and political oppression. The Irish and the Poles, the Germans and the Ukrainians. All the persecuted. They worked on the boats, on the great rivers, and helped to till the plains and to build the first railroad. The Canadians sang as they worked on the railroad, and among the new Canadians, a small group of Jews also had a song.
You're not singing, Abram.
I'm saving my breath. I'll sing for my supper.
It's strange. In the old world, I was always tired. The days were always too long. One day was like another. At night, all I asked was to fall asleep quickly so I didn't have to think about the future. Well, of course, I was a Jew, and so I had no future. But here I work and sing, and before I know it, night has come. As for the plans I'm making, well, 1,000 nights wouldn't be long enough. But you are a cynic, Abram.
And you, Kiva, are an optimist.
Why so?
In the old world, it was bad. Well, now we're here, and here it's better. But in 6 months, you cannot know a man. And it's the same with the country. We're still Jews.
Of course.
So I say to myself, wait and see. They still watch us in the streets.
Because our clothes are different.
They laugh at our food.
They don't laugh.
They stare at us when we speak.
Because we are only learning the language. And they stare at the others, too, the Irish, the Germans, all of us who've just arrived. We are different, and so they are interested. We're new to them, and they're new to us. What you need, Abram, is a wife and children to go home to. Then you will no longer be a cynic. You will sing with the rest of us.
Hey, Kiva was an optimist. He had come to Canada in search of peace and justice, a land where differences did not matter, where a man could hold up his head and say, "I am a Jew, a Protestant, a Catholic." And his neighbor would say, "You are welcome." And he believed that he had found that land. At night, when he went to the boxcar where he and the other Jews ate and slept and heard the voices of the men in the boxcars all around him, the old Canadians and the new, he felt at peace, at home. These were his fellow workers, his friends. He also continued to plan for the future. He would not work on the railroad forever. One day he would have enough money to buy a small store in Winnipeg and be with his wife and children, not just for the holidays.
The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever.
Ah, good, good, Martha.
I sang it for the whole class, Papa.
No, I don't believe it. One of these days, they will give you a medal.
A gold star.
And you, Joseph, what did you learn while I was away?
I learned to read, Papa.
To read? Impossible.
I can read, see the man, see the cat, see the mouse. And at school, we saw a mouse.
A real one?
A real live one.
When are you going back, Papa?
On Sunday night.
Can we have a picnic on Sunday?
If you like. But ask Mama.
Ask me what, children?
We're going to have a picnic, take out lunch, and eat it in the field.
And Papa will tell us about the railroad.
Papa's had enough of the railroad. But all right, now go to bed, children.
Will you come and kiss us goodnight?
Mm-hmm, of course.
Papa, too?
Mm-hmm, Papa, too. Oh, Kiva, they missed you.
Well, I miss them. But soon, Esther, soon. You know, I've been thinking about the store. Hardware, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Or clothes for working men. I know their needs. It might do well.
It's a dream, but I've learned something. Dreams can come true. Yesterday, Joseph brought home a friend, a little Canadian boy. His grandfather was a mayor here, and he stayed to supper with us.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. And Martha also has such friends, all kinds. Rich, poor, old, new. And people are so kind to me. Mm. You know, at the post office, they helped me with the stamps. Yesterday, the clerk said to me, "Odessa, you come from Odessa. You are well-traveled. I envy you."
Oh, it's all so good. And Abram says, "Wait and see. It may not last."
Oh.
Why shouldn't it last?
A whole day off, that's what he gave me, just for a crack in the arm. It was my own fault, too. I let the log fall on me. Tea, salt?
Thank you, David. He's an Irishman, new like us. He came only 3 years ago, and yet he is the foreman.
Well, of course. Why are you so surprised? Here, anybody can be foreman. Now, Kiva, how about you?
Nope. No, I have other plans.
Abram? Hey, where is Abram?
Oh, he has gone for the newspaper.
That's what I want to do, work on a newspaper. Someday, maybe be a writer.
And you, David?
Oh, I'll stay here. A boxcar is not a home, but I've lived in worse places. And I will be the foreman.
You will be president of the whole railroad. I know you, David. And your uncles and sons and nephews will be vice presidents. Oh, that must be Abram. You bring the paper?
I brought it. So, read, my optimistic Kiva.
Why? Is anything wrong?
I'll tell you what's wrong. 200 men have been set upon and beaten.
What?
Don't believe it.
But what men?
Jews at the lumber mill at Whitehall, German and Ukrainians. All of those who've just come here, they rounded them up and beat them.
But I don't understand it. For what reason?
Is there ever a reason? In the old world, did they have a reason for persecuting us?
But what about the authorities, Abram? Nobody interfered? Well, at least the attackers were punished.
The attackers went back to their dinner. The beaten are in the hospital. And nobody was punished.
Mm-hmm.
You're not singing, Kiva. It will pass, Abram. There are hoodlums everywhere. It will pass, or it will grow.
I still don't understand it. Why?
It's an old story, Kiva. We're new. We're strange to them. And the ignorant hate and fear the strange.
Ah.
Where are you going?
To help the others. I'm finished here. Can I give you a hand? My name is Kiva.
Kiva? What kind of a name is that?
Russian. I was born in Odessa.
Well, my name is Charles Wicks. That's a decent name. I was born in Canada.
Well, let's forget about names. Just tell me what you want me to do.
Sure. Go back to Russia, or wherever you came from. Take the rest of the foreigners with you. We don't want them here.
Now drop it, Wicks.
What's the matter with you today? Come over here, Kiva.
Just a minute. I am a foreigner in some of my ways. But how does that hurt you?
Oh. You want to argue about it?
No, not at all. I just want an answer to my question.
Leave him alone, Kiva. He's crazy.
Get out of the way. You.
Wicks! What's all that?
Stop him! Stop him or I'll kill him!
As you like, Mrs. Barsky, but he'd be better off in the hospital.
No, I'll take care of him. Doctor, it's his eye that I worry about.
Oh, it'll get well. It'll just take time. You have somebody here to help you?
Yes, yes. Abram and the neighbors. Everyone wants to help.
Of course. Oh, such a terrible thing to happen. That Wicks must be a madman. Why did he do it?
Doctor, since I can remember, the persecuted have asked that question. Well, now I'm not interested in the answer. I only know that it happens. And that it also happens here.
I'll come in tomorrow, Mrs. Barsky. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Oh, and thank you, Doctor. Abram.
Has he gone?
Yes. How's Kiva?
All right. He wants to see you.
Well,
go ahead. Go ahead. I'll bring the medicine.
All right. Kiva?
You don't have to whisper. I'm awake. Come here. Take my hand. For a little while, you'll have to be my eyes.
Oh, Kiva.
Esther, I'm thinking about the children. Have you told them what's happened?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are they frightened? Well, tell me. Don't keep things from me.
Of course they're frightened. Martha screams all night in her sleep. And Joseph refuses to go to school. How does he know that he won't be beaten? And they blame me. You and me.
But why?
We told them such things never happened here. Only in the old world. And now they know that we lied to them.
Oh, we didn't lie. It's true.
Oh, Kiva, how can you...
Here, drink it. But I warn you, the taste is bad. I've just sampled it.
Thank you. Abram, will you do something for me?
Anything.
Is Charles Wicks still at the camp?
Yes.
He hasn't been arrested.
Arrested? By whom?
That's right. There's no one in authority there. So, you will go to the police here in Winnipeg.
Kiva.
Get a police officer and take him out to the camp.
What are you talking about, Kiva?
Listen to me now, both of you. Wicks attacked me. He nearly killed me. And that is against the law.
But Wicks is a Canadian and you are a foreigner, so there is no law.
Well, you have to go to court. And you're the one who'd be arrested.
Yes. You listen to me, Kiva. Those men at the lumber camp were beaten, and who went to court for them? What did the law do for them? Mm.
But they didn't protest. They were afraid. They don't believe that there's justice here for everyone, for any man who asks for it. But I do believe it. And I am going to prove it.
So you work, you sing, you go to your boxcar and you mind your own business. Remember it, Salt.
I already know it. A month ago, I wrote to a paper, a Canadian one, and asked them for a job as errand boy, anything. I have not even received an answer.
Well, when you do, the answer will be no.
Oh, I'm sorry for Kiva.
Why?
He thinks that he can fight it, but he'll learn. Tomorrow, when he goes to court, he'll learn.
The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever.
Martha!
I'm here, Mommy.
Oh, get a glass of water for Papa.
Yes, but, Mommy.
What, Martha?
Why did the men hurt Papa?
I've explained it to you, dear.
Why did the children make fun of me in school and in the streets?
What children?
They say that when Papa goes to the court, the judge will laugh at him and throw him out. Take me away from here, Mama, to some place that is safe. I don't want to stay here. Take me away.
So, Martha, now you're safe here. Most of the children are your friends. Only the foolish say such things. And Papa may not go to court. All you have to do is send a message.
Please, Esther.
Just a message to the court that you've dropped the charges. If not for my sake, then for the children's. Abram, speak to him.
I've said all I can. Look, you haven't even got a lawyer, Kiva. And Wicks has the best in Winnipeg.
The court will appoint a lawyer.
Ach, the court. And what will he do for you?
State the facts. What else do I want? Wicks assaulted me. A dozen men will testify to it. And Wicks will go to jail.
An optimist. Still an optimist. Your lawyer will not even try to defend you. Wicks will say you assaulted him, and when they call for witnesses, no one will come. And you are the one who'll go to jail.
No,
Abram. Let me finish. You're stubborn. You want to suffer. And do you know who else will suffer? Esther and the children. Every foreigner in Canada. What will you prove in court today? That there is no justice. The hoodlums will read about this trial and know that it's safe to attack us all. That it's safe to persecute us. Don't go, Kiva.
Don't do it, Kiva.
But Kiva had come to Canada in search of justice, of a land where he could live in peace. And he still believed that he had found it. On the morning of August 10th, 1882, he went to court. The case of the Queen versus Charles Wicks was heard in a crowded courtroom. And Esther was afraid. And Abram was afraid. They looked at the newspaper men who had come to find a colorful story. At the curiosity seekers, those who stared or laughed at them. At the hoodlums, friends of Charles Wicks, waiting for, hoping for the sign which would condone their violent acts. But Kiva looked at the judge, and he was not afraid. When his lawyer called him to the stand, he told the truth simply. When witnesses were called, they came. Even when Charles Wicks was called and swore that Kiva had struck him, Kiva was not afraid. He continued to believe in Canadian justice, especially when the judge passed sentence.
A month in jail, that's what he gave him. Did you hear, Esther?
Yes, a month in jail for Charles Wicks.
Hush, the judge is about to sum up.
the judge summed up. But he had more to tell the newspaper men and the hoodlums and the curious. He, too, believed in justice for everyone in Canada. First, he talked about the Jews, for Kiva was a Jew.
The complaint against Kiva Barsky, the reason for the attack against him, was that he holds to the Jewish faith. Well, I say that the senseless persecution of the Jews, the one chosen people of God, is a crime which we cannot join.
Abrams! Abrams, do you hear
him? I hear, Esther.
This man, Kiva Barsky, recently driven to our borders by this senseless bigotry, is entitled instead to the welcome of a brother and to the protection of all our laws.
He's right, Abram.
He's right, but I did not expect him to know it.
No.
I did not expect him to say it.
And one of the others who have come here, the Irish, the Poles, the Germans, hunted out of their lands by hunger as well as intolerance, who have also come in search of the peace and the justice which we have planted here. Are they not also entitled to welcome and the protection of our laws?
Hear!
And now I come to us. We whose ancestors fought for this peace and with their blood and lives established Canadian justice. Are we to neglect the work they did? Forget our heritage? And we have forgotten something else. Our ancestors also came to these shores. The English, the Scotch, the French. They came to escape intolerance. Let us be proud of them, yes. But let us remember who they were. Let us cherish the justice which they fought for.
Justice for all. That's what the judge called for. A welcome to all, whether they brought with them ancient faiths or new traditions, whether they spoke the language or were just learning it. A welcome from the old to the new and the strange. For not so long ago, the old were new and strange, too.
Martha, get the picnic basket.
I've already put it outside, Papa.
Esther, bring something for your head. Sun's hot.
Mm-hmm. I have it.
Well, a parasol.
It is a present from you, Kiva.
Hmm?
You don't know it, but you bought it for me.
Today we all have presents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a time for them. Abram.
I'm bringing some cushions. After lunch, I'm going to sleep for a month.
Abram, I have not thanked you.
For what? All I did was discourage you.
Well, even so, I'm going to get you a present. It may take me a little time to find it, but I'm going to get you a wife. Then you will no longer be a cynic.
I am no longer a cynic, Kiva.
Now Abram also believed. Because of Kiva, all the new Canadians believed again in peace and justice.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Rabbi Arthur A. Scheel, spiritual leader of the Genesis Hebrew Center of Tuckahoe, New York, and a member of the Executive Council of the Rabbinical Assembly of America. Rabbi Scheel.
In the coming year, 1959, the Canadian Jewish community will observe its 200th anniversary. While it is true that individual Jews made their appearance on the Canadian scene before 1759, it was the group that arrived in Quebec with the victorious troops of Sir Geoffrey Amherst who laid the foundations of Jewish community life in Canada. These arrivals of 1759 were adventuresome and hardy men who threw themselves enthusiastically into the pioneer enterprises of early Canada, some becoming merchants, others fur traders. Very soon they integrated into the life of the new land. Less than one half century after the arrival of these Jewish pioneers, the son of one of them, Ezekiel Hart, sought election to the Legislative Assembly of Lower Canada and was elected from the constituency of Three Rivers, Quebec. But when Ezekiel Hart appeared in the assembly to be sworn into office, he refused to take the customary oath on the New Testament. As a Jew, he asked to be sworn on the Holy Scripture of his own people, a right which was denied to him. Arduous debates followed. Only in June 1832, 25 years after Ezekiel Hart's election, was a Bill of Rights passed by the Legislative Assembly, which granted full civil rights to Jews of Canada. Exactly 50 years after the enactment of this Bill of Rights, there took place the incident dramatized on today's program. In this instance, it was the case of Kiva Barsky, a recent refugee to Manitoba from the pogroms of Tsarist Russia, who sought justice for himself and his fellow Jews in a Winnipeg court. He had been led to believe that the ancient biblical principle, "One law shall be to him that is homeborn and with the stranger," was the principle operative in Canada. He dared to put this great principle to the test in the court presided over by Chief Justice Edmund Burke Wood. Nor was Kiva Barsky disappointed, for in the decision handed down by Chief Justice Wood, it was made clear that justice would be done to all comers, regardless of their ethnic, religious, or racial origin. And so it was that the faith of a new Canadian, Kiva Barsky, was affirmed by another Canadian, Chief Justice Wood, whose decision reflected the law of the land and the will of its people. Homeborn and stranger, one law unto all.
Thank you, Rabbi Scheel. Our eternal light drama today, One Man's Faith, was written by Theodore and Matilda Farrell and based on an incident described in the book Jewish Experiences in Early Manitoba by Rabbi Arthur A. Scheel. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were William Mason, Bill Lipton, Ralph Bell, Jan Miner, Ina Cummings, Alan Bergman, and Herbert Duncan. Your narrator was Roger DeCoven. This is Lionel Rico speaking. Our program is directed by Parker Gibbs. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.